Good evening. It's Monday, July 15th, 2013. You're listening to KSTK FM, Wrangell, Alaska. I'm Shady Grove Oliver, and coming up in evening news, a new invasive insect has been discovered in Southeast. Also, we'll hear about a study on the Gulf of Alaska's fisheries. But first, we'll have a complete local and marine weather forecast.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by Bob's IGA, featuring fresh produce, a meat department featuring USDA choice grade beef, and a service deli, as well as DVD movie rentals, digital photo processing, and more. Bob's IGA, Wrangell's quality food store.
Turning first to the zone weather forecast for Wrangell and surrounding areas tonight, mostly clear, lows around 49 degrees, and a northwest wind at 10 miles per hour. For Tuesday, sunny, highs 75 to 81 degrees, and a northwest wind at 10 miles per hour. For Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows 48 to 54 degrees, and a northwest wind at 10 miles per hour. For Wednesday, sunny, highs around 76 degrees, and a northwest wind at 10 miles per hour. Turning next to the marine weather forecast, the synopsis for Southeast Alaska inner channels and coastal waters. A very weak low in the central Gulf will weaken as it moves southeast on Monday. The ridge of high pressure that it's moving through will drift to the west into the western Gulf by Monday night. In Frederick Sound tonight, a northwest wind at 15 knots, diminishing late, seas at 3 feet. For Tuesday, a northeast wind increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 3 feet. For Tuesday night, a northeast wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. And for Wednesday through Thursday, a southwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. In Sumner Strait tonight, a west wind at 15 knots, diminishing late, seas at 3 feet. For Tuesday, a west wind increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 3 feet. For Tuesday night and Wednesday, a west wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. And finally, in Clarence Strait tonight, a northwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. For Tuesday, a northwest wind increasing to 20 knots in the afternoon, seas at 4 feet. For Tuesday night and Wednesday, a northwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. Turning first to regional news, an invasive insect that's doing widespread damage to alder trees in south-central Alaska has now been discovered in Southeast. A Forest Service entomologist is fairly certain that the bright green caterpillar, which recently defoliated a small tree in a Sitka neighborhood, is the green alder sawfly. Samples of the insect are headed to a sawfly expert at the Smithsonian Institution for confirmation. But in the meantime, area residents should pay attention to what may be living on and eating local alder trees. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It's a pretty common call to any radio station newsroom around here. Somebody's found something unusual. It might be fill in the blank, Japanese tsunami debris, Jimmy Hoffa, or a bright green caterpillar from North Africa. Well, this time, fans of Detroit's most enduring mystery will be disappointed, but those concerned about unusual insects will not.
I mean, I'd like to think that this was the only tree, but I would say the chances of it just being here and nowhere else is Sitka, I would think it's not big.
Bob Gorman is the cooperative extension agent in Sitka. We're standing in a yard on Shelikoff Street looking at the green alder sawfly.
It's a little more than an inch long, maybe a 16th of an inch wide. It's real light green with a kind of a darker striped green. It's got a head is just about the same color as the body.
There is a native sawfly that feeds on alder, but this damage is far more extensive. The leaf Gorman holds has been devoured with remarkable precision. It looks like lace.
You see this kind of defoliation where you see little holes? That's not that uncommon. But these guys are totally just skeletonizing the leaves.
These are the larvae, and they just eat and eat and eat, and that's, you know, what their job is right now.
This is Liz Graham, an entomologist with the Forest Service in Juneau. Gorman sent her pictures of the caterpillars, and she literally was on a plane to Sitka the next day.
When you have a new introduction, the best thing you can do is treat it quickly and get rid of them quickly before they spread and become established. And if say, the only place we find them is in this one neighborhood, then we really want to try to, you know, nip it in the bud early and make sure that they don't spread out and get into the forest, because once that happens, it's really, really difficult to manage, almost impossible.
The green alder sawfly is native to North Africa and Southern Europe. It was first found in eastern Canada in the 1990s and identified in Alaska in 2004. The green alder sawfly has been found in Oregon and Washington, and it's become a major problem in some drainages around Anchorage, Ship Creek, and Campbell Creek in particular. We'll never know how it got to Sitka. We just know it did not get here by itself.
Could have been on a barge. It could have been on somebody's car when it, you know, was on the ferry. You know, one of the great mysteries. It very well could have come from Anchorage.
The green alder sawfly feeds in summertime in caterpillar form, molts several times, and then drops to the ground in fall. It overwinters in soil or dead wood and emerges in spring as an adult sawfly, which resembles a small wasp. It's at this stage that some form of pesticide or other biological control might be introduced to contain the sawfly. Graham says she'll be back next spring to survey the amount of airborne sawflies and to determine how far it has spread. Alder are a major part of the forest ecosystem in Southeast. The fast-growing trees fix nitrogen in the soil, provide shade along stream banks, and shelter young conifers. Widespread defoliation would be a major disruption, but would it be a disaster?
The environment is good at adapting, and even though this is something new that's been introduced, I think that there will be ways to catch up.
Graham says the beetles common in Southeast will make a nice meal of sawfly larvae. So will the birds. In fact, as I stand next to the devoured alder on Shelikov Street, a small bird, maybe the aptly named alder flycatcher, darts in and pays back one of the caterpillars in kind.
Yeah, got one. There you go.
Yeah.
Got another.
Yeah, you got your control right there.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can see photos of the green alder sawfly on our website, kstk.org. Just look under Southeast News. Continuing with regional news, what helps or hurts the health of Gulf of Alaska's fisheries? More than 40 scientists from 11 institutions are searching for answers as part of a 5-year study of the Gulf's vast ecosystem. Among other things, they're creating a baseline of data to help determine climate change's impacts on fish growth and populations. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld paid a visit to one Juneau research facility to find out about its part of the study.
The fish come in here and then we weigh them, and then we have to cut their stomach contents out, and then we'll probably look at those to see what the contents were.
Ron Heintz opens a glass case in one of the laboratories where he and his team are studying groundfish. He pulls out a test tube holding what looks like a small amount of powdery dirt.
They get dried and then ground into this powder here, this homogenate. So that's just a dried, pulverized fish.
Heintz is a program manager for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center at NOAA Fisheries Ted Stevens Marine Research Institute. His office overlooks Favorite Channel, an inside passage waterway about 15 miles northwest of downtown Juneau. But Heintz and his team are focused farther to the west in the Gulf of Alaska.
What we're really interested in is how climate is influencing the survival of juvenile fish that contribute to these fisheries. So you have, you know, a fishery is conducted on, say, rockfish or pollock or Pacific cod, and we need to know how the juveniles enter those populations so that we can manage them more effectively.
The focus here is on juvenile groundfish. In addition to pollock and cod, they're studying sablefish, Pacific ocean perch, and arrow-tooth flounder. Others are researching predators, factors affecting food, and differences between the eastern and western Gulf. Information is being gathered at more than 200 locations along the ocean shelf, from southeast Baranoff Island, north to Yakutat, and west to the Kenai Peninsula and Kodiak Island.
A lot of studies are very single species, single mechanism. This is a real attempt to understand how the ecosystem works as a whole.
Phyllis Stabenow is an oceanographer at NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory in Seattle. She says this project is looking at several species and changing conditions such as temperature, current, and rainfall.
looking at 5 species of fish is species interact. The system is very complex, and we're trying to understand the major drivers of what results in survival.
Before they can be studied, the fish have to be caught. Wayne Fournier is a Juno Lab field chief who samples the sea. He says his crew first records temperature, zooplankton populations, and other relevant information.
And then we'll put on a research trawl, which then we string with buoys along the head rope, which keeps it right at the surface. So we're just looking for the little fish on the survey, our little guys in their first year at sea.
Once they're brought to the lab, Heinz and his crew run them through a series of tests.
For the rockfish, it's very difficult to tell the little babies apart, so we actually have to then send them off to do a genetic analysis so that we can identify what species we actually caught.
They're checked for protein and fat content, plus other tests using a variety of equipment.
If the fish is doing really well and has a lot of body fat, then we would think that the fish is in pretty good condition, and it's probably not too concerned about lots of predators. It's finding lots of food. It's living at an optimal temperature. The currents are providing it with the things that it needs to have a happy life. If the fish is really lean and not putting on a lot of fat, then it's probably suffering somehow.
These and other tests, when combined with other parts of the study, give researchers a better idea of the health of groundfish stocks. It's information needed by scientists and fishery managers, but why should everybody else care?
Because most Alaskans like to eat fish. And our job is to provide those fish and to make sure that those fish are available for your kids to eat and your kids' kids to eat. And this is the only way we know how to do it, is to make sure that we don't overfish the stocks, is by understanding how the ecosystem works.
The Gulf of Alaska study is scheduled to continue through next year. In addition to the immediate information, what's discovered will give future researchers a well-documented reference point. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
Links to other parts of the Gulf Research Project are posted on our website with this report at kstk.org. Just look under Southeast News. You can also read a research blog and see photos of the effort. And that wraps up our evening newscast. Thanks for tuning in to KSTK-FM, your source for daily local news in Wrangell. You can check us out anytime online at kstk.org or find us on Facebook. Stay tuned. Your community calendar rundown is coming up next.